If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerd Talk Plus is a work of fiction by idiots. Nothing said within this episode should be taken as scientific fact, life advice, or even honesty. We should probably recommend against listening at all. Since you're here, no getting mad about this very dumb thing without the express written consent of Major League Centaurs.
Centaurs!
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi there, as heard on 107.7 The Inn in Seattle. Hello there, I'm Gregor, and welcome to my ridiculous Nerd Talk, only longer and dumber. This is Nerd Talk Plus. That's the most enthusiasm I've given that intro in a long time, I think.
Very much so.
I was going to introduce the alleged author of Eras of Architecture across Eastern Washington, but our littlest boy is running late, so we'll do that in a minute here. The first person to in my life to make the chaos of Florida seem actually worth it. He's just a meat vessel for human gratification. We've both touched a gator at the same time, and we call his wiener a rescue animal. There's a good chance that that's just a spam musubi under those sweatpants, but we'll never know. He's the Mandarin Floridian. It's Siege. Hello.
I'm definitely willing to show you whether it's a spam musubi or not.
Well, to be continued.
And we'll be right back.
Helping us behind the scenes and then schooling us at the end, we have producer Sean Tasty Gravy, not Gervin. None of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, or perhaps, maybe even what we get right. It's definitely not stoichiometry.
No.
Tell a friend, write a review, or just find us online to say sexy things about Siege at NerdTalkPlus.com or on the Instagram at all spelled out nerdtalkplus.com.
We have one message today.
Let's go.
It is from our good friend Emily P, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
She sent us a picture of a bunch of art on a wall that looked like secret buttholes.
Well, that's thank you, first of all, for knowing who to send it to and it being us. That's, I was just reading about how the skin around or the skin of the anus is more sensitive than other skin. And as you get older, it has more of a tendency for fissures and tearing. Someone was trying to sell me like bidet products. And I was like, I know about bidets, stupid internet. Get out of here.
Just got to use chapstick.
Oh, that's interesting.
According to IFL Science, they said the skin of your lips is the same as the skin of your anus.
Wow, the only planet with skin, Uranus. All right, well that's good. We'll wait for Brandon to join in here in just a minute. Anything going on for you, Siege, other than being back? It's back to school, to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool.
There's
a movie reference. Does anyone know that? Because I know a movie. It's from the 90s.
Uh-oh. Wait a second. No! Wrong one!
Has Gerg seen a film? Billy Madison, 1992, maybe?
I've seen
it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those 90s terrible comedy films or whatever. That was my sweet spot when I was a teenager.
Are you in the market or in the mood for Happy Gilmore 2?
Oh, interesting. I find Adam Sandler to be annoying.
Most people do.
But the thing is, when I was in eighth grade, he was putting out comedy CDs. I got a snake, man.
I like to beat snake. Can't say that one.
Yep, so
I'll leave that for you.
Yeah, he was putting out comedy albums back then. And now the beating of a high school Spanish teacher. You know, like
Fatty McGee, you're the fattest. I like the stairs. They're fun.
So, yeah, he was doing that back in the day, and that's like a lost art, I guess. No one's doing prank call like the Jerky Boys, and one's putting out comedy, you know, joke prank CDs or whatever anymore. But then, like, you know, then he started playing songs, the Thanksgiving song, and, like, everyone is so happy to hear him play his silly songs and be all cute about it. And then 30 years of it went by, and I'm like, all right.
All right, enough.
We have Andy Samberg now. We don't need you, Adam Sandler. My understanding is that Adam Sandler, delightful, lovely man, and he, like, cares and tries, and but he only does what he wants to do, which I totally respect.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I
would love to do that.
It's just not for me anymore. Like, my own brand of that is for me or whatever. So, yeah. I don't really care about Happy Gilmore 2. It was a very important movie to my childhood, the first one. You eat pieces of for breakfast? So good.
I accidentally killed that guy. I thought he was dead.
Oh, that's right.
I thought Shooter McGavin was dead.
Present, but late. Everybody, here we go. I'm trying to wait for him to connect here. There we are. God damn it.
Come on, Sassy. Oh, my God. Yes!
I'm so mad about that. How dare you not bring that to me this weekend?
I was going to say, how is that still there?
He's the alleged author of Eras of Architecture Across Eastern Washington. He's our skin squatch, but your Montana Mountain King, inventor of new golf, our littlest boy with the biggest blimp, formerly known as Tony Pizza. Give it up for Finger Blasting Brandon from the internet. Hello, Brandon.
Yes.
Co-inventor of new golf.
Well, yeah.
I feel like...
I don't want to do you dirty like that, though. I want you to be... you can be... You technically a co-inventor. I get it. But also, inventor's not wrong.
I think we all kind of had a part in it. I just kind of stood there and said, hit it all at me.
One of us didn't.
I'm
too busy on Hinge.
I'm going to stay back here, guys. I'm going to have a chat.
The deep, dark recesses of Spokane Hinge.
Oh, man, that sounds terrible.
I mean, all of the people on there worked at the nail salon we went to, so it was like... Hi, Brandon. How are you?
Oh, man. I'm good. I am solo parenting this week.
All week?
All week, yeah. While Cage is away.
Is she doing time?
She's been locked away while we work to bail her out.
Double sorry to hear that for you, Brandon, because people of our nature are not supposed to be solely in charge of children for that long.
No. It's
some of us not in charge of children at
funny.
All.
It's really funny because I am in charge of my kids for a week. And I think what it is like Catherine Cage was, I think, felt very badly. It was a very last minute thing. Like Sunday, we were in Seattle for the weekend. And Sunday, she flew out unexpectedly, like flying out Sunday instead of driving back to Spokane with me and the kids. And I think she was just trying to get out of a potentially crappy car ride with two toddlers.
Smart.
She flew out super last minute. I think she just felt very bad that it was like, unanticipated, couldn't help me get set up for a week alone. Like if either of us were leaving for this long, we would do what we can in advance to like make sure that the other person was set up really well.
Brandon would get that round of golf in to make sure that he was like, all right.
Yeah. So I got home, and then all of a sudden I start getting texts from neighbors in this park of being like, which makes me sound like I live in a trailer park. Not in the park. It's a very nice trailer park.
They've got horses.
Yeah, there are trailers behind the horses.
Dead ones.
Do you guys know the type of horse racing that they did here was like chariot racing?
I was going to say, please tell me it was like the chariot or the little basket racing fools.
I was just gifted a historical like binder of images and things like that about the park.
You're expected to like learn about
eras
all of it.
Of horse architecture?
first of all, they showed there used to be bike racing around here too. I mean, one of those guys could be me.
Wow, you're like a vampire.
Picture from old school Corbin Park where I live. But then the next picture,
the guy's got his shirt off and everything, like it's like
old timey, wearing a Botas helmet.
Hold on,
What's that?
Look at that!
Chariot
racing. Yes!
Sit down chariot racing. It looks like something that would be modern day Paralympic sport. But
wait, did your fast dog die or the other dog? I can't remember.
Fast dog died.
Fast dog.
Also, can you believe that this kind of racing, also these guys holding each other up on bikes, is happens to be the same hallowed grounds where New Golf was invented?
I can believe it.
It's in the
DNA of the spot. Things happen there. Okay.
There's like all sorts of creative and energy that just like exudes from the ground there.
I've got an idea for how to make Cage feel better about being gone.
Okay.
You need to get another Greyhound. Okay. And then you need to hitch the Greyhound to one of the strollers.
Perfect.
And then put your kid in it. Yes. You can get on a bike with them, and then you can ride along filming while the Greyhound pulls your kids around the neighborhood.
Put the other kid on the Greyhound.
On board. 100%.
Right. The jockey.
One rides the Greyhound.
Goldie,
the other one
the
rides.
Jockey.
Yes.
Yeah. Just duct tape her on there. Okay. And then just go for it.
The what actually happened was I started getting text messages from the old ladies that live on the park of being like, I'm bringing Terry with an I brought me dinner tonight, me and the kids dinner tonight, and Terry with an a Y is bringing us dinner tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
Well, first of all, that's very sweet. Do you, though, feel emasculated because...
1,000%. I was like, Cage, this very much feels like... Nobody trusts that I'm able to keep these kids alive for the week, and I'm like,
I kept telling her,
I was like, look, I can do this, like I can 100% handle this. This is totally fine. And then she was like, okay. And then I started getting texts from every Terry on the park.
tell those Terrys that Siege has got a spam masubi waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
tell those Terrys what's up. Can I tell you the silver lining from all of this though is is that because of the amount of time that I get to spend with my kids this week, I'm starting to discover things about my kids that
did you know one of them's a girl?
Which one though?
I think that Stone, my oldest, is he's 3 years old, 3 and a half. I think he's ready for improv. Because his comedic timing is so good. I said, so we were upstairs and he's playing with his Legos and he was like, he got this new pretend Iron Man, which he calls Iron Man, which is great. He says Iron Man needs a wrench, and he's talking about a pretend wrench. And so I went and grabbed a pretend actual wrench. No, yeah, I grabbed a pretend wrench out of the.
You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
First, I tried to grab it just like I just tried to grab a pretend thing out of the air from just in front of me, and he said, "No, Dad, you have to grab it out of the toolbox." And I said, "Oh, sorry." And so I reached into the box next to me and.
You dumb
an invisible and I grabbed the invisible wrench again out of this invisible box and I handed it to him and he goes, Daddy, that's a hammer. It's like
he's like, you stupid idiot.
I was like fair play.
Dude, kid.
But it was great.
Oh, yeah? You don't like this one? Then you get the wrench.
I was like, actually, it was a piece of poop, and he thought that was great.
All right. Well, he's three. That's how hell that goes, yeah. I guess, huh? All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're still podcasting. We would have totally, you know, judged you, but also been fine with you not showing up tonight. But look at you persevering. But not only can he take care of the kids by himself with a little help from the Terrys, but also he could still podcast after he's... drugged them with full of whiskey and put them to bed. So great job, everybody. All right, dudes. Well, let's see. I got notes from last week. Okay. Hold on. I got a burp. Ah, there we go.
Nice.
July 3rd. Interesting. As of July 3rd, and it counts today too, we are now closer to the year 2050 than we are to the year 2000.
Ew.
Which is
the year 2000.
Which is, I mean, fair, I guess. The people born in 2000 can now rent cars and be crushed by the weight of living in an ever-consuming race to prove one's worth with their ability to buy things, often delivered the next day. But, yeah, How does the – see, we got your reaction on that. How do you feel about that, Brandon? You're a few years younger than us. How do you feel about being closer to the year 2050 than to the year 2000?
I literally respectfully couldn't care less.
I don't even remember the year 2000, bro. I was like 2.
I was 9. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the perspective is so different, right? It's like
stupid.
Because in the year 2000, I was 20.
Yeah, I was out of high school.
Couldn't quite drink yet, but we had just gone through Y2K. Things were great legally. Things were in America, but. We just got through Y2K. We had the Bat Dance. We had, Prince. Bat Dance is several years before that, but I always think of the Bat Dance and I think of 1999 or whatever the song is by Prince. R.I.P. Prince. Never liked Prince until after he was dead, because that's my move with like a lot of artists. I find that to be horribly depressing that the year 2050, which will... I'll be 70 in the year 2050. That's...
Ew.
To be fair, Brandon will be almost 60, so he won't be happy about it then, I don't think. He might care a little bit more.
Till 2060, I'll be 69.
Yes, nice. Sir. Who was it that died that didn't make that far? Gosh darn it. Who was it that just... Bob Rivers, legendary radio host. They posted on the Bob Rivers page today, happy what would have been your 69th birthday? And I was like, that is...
Nice.
That's cruel. It is cruel that Bob Rivers didn't make it to an iconically immature year. That's like that. So, yeah.
Speaking of the number 69, you sent a photo. First, you said George Kirby, who's a pitcher for the Seattle Mariners, starting pitcher for one of the starters for the Seattle Mariners, is something. I don't remember. Something like, you suck, George Kirby. And and then I was like, well, I thought. And I follow the Mariners a bit, but like, and I had seen a little bit that day of like George Kirby being a very good pitcher all day, shut out the, I don't know, other team, the Pirates, I think.
Yeah, Pirates.
Pirates.
And shut out the Pirates and pitched super well. And then I get this text about how George Kirby sucks. And I was like, wait, what? And then you sent a picture of somebody sitting at the bar wearing a George Kirby jersey with the number 68 on it. And it got me thinking, like, yes, if you're going to do it, just have the balls to go for 69, Kirby. Like, it's not – but then I don't know how it works. Like, in soccer, it's like there's numbers that are associated with positions for the most part. Obviously, you can always break that rule, but for the most part, like, there's numbers associated with positions, and even in football, like, there's traditional numbers that are associated with certain positions or groups of positions, right?
Right.
And in baseball, I just don't know that there's any rhyme or reason for the numbers, and so then you have to imagine that like a random number like 68 for George Kirby had to be chosen. And I'm curious if you guys think, if in your opinion, like, was what I think could have happened was he said, can I get 69? And they said no. And so so he just went with the next closest thing that was...
I'll owe you one.
Yeah.
So for me, it's in soccer when Robin Van Persie joins the dominant Manchester United, and he was number 10 at Arsenal, and he betrayed London and went to Manchester. And Wayne Rooney was already on that squad, and he was number 10, and he was like an iconic, legendary Manchester United player. And so Van Persie couldn't have number 10, so he just doubled it and was... Number 20.
10-10. Oh, dang it.
Yeah, you see, I see that all the time. There used to be a bunch of South American guys who, when they moved teams and they couldn't get number 9, they would be like 18, but then they'd put a little plus in between the 1 and the 8.
Oh, that's funny.
On the back of their shirt.
I liked, Oleks Anderson when he was.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Famous Oleks Anderson. Yeah, the Vincent famous. Grenadines starting striker who played for Seattle Sounders FC 2
for a minute.
For a couple of seasons. He couldn't have number 9 because that was, I guess. Whoever it was. Because they didn't... No, they could have their own numbers. They could have, like... They could have duplicate numbers back then on S2 and things like that. So, but he chose 99 instead.
Sure. Max Verstappen, the four-time Formula One world champion, he wanted to be number 3, but his teammate Daniel Ricciardo was already number 3, so...
There's literally only 2 guys on a team. How do they not just have... Why do they have...
Well, you can't have 2 guys on... in the sport, you don't have more than one person using a number.
Don't, no, three I, zero, I understand three. That, but how are there more than two? Like, how is it like not just one and two for each team?
Well, like, because you're trying to market yourself, and so like only one guy can be number five, only one guy can be number seven, only one guy can be number 68.
So what number? What number did Verstappen end up with?
33.
Oh, okay.
To your point, George Kirby wears number 68. Says AI provided by Google. Great. George Kirby wears number 68 for the Seattle Mariners. This is suspicious because it was the number he wore during his time, this feels fake, at Elon University.
What?
Like, is this a Twitter result or what? And he chose to continue wearing it for the majors. Tell me why he wore it at Elon. Only Elon's allowed to wear number 69 at Elon University. Now, fun fact, the 2005 MotoGP World Champion, an American from Kentucky, the Kentucky kid, Nicky Hayden, famously wore number 69.
Nice.
So, nice. He was good friends with Valentino Rossi, who's considered oftentimes to be the greatest of MotoGP, who was number 46, and so you'll see people wearing a 469, which is sort of like our 420-69 combo or whatever, which we should consider doing in the future. You'll see people with stickers or helmets on their motorcycles now that say 469 or whatever. Mm. So, I think that if you're going to go for it, you're going to be considered kind of trashy. If you go for number 69.
No, never.
And if you're a dirt bike riding guy from Kentucky, you don't care.
Yeah. Did you guys see I sent you something on Instagram, I believe, earlier today. So the Tour de France just started a few days ago, and today was stage three of the Tour de France. And speaking of racing and speaking of trashy people, there are a handful of Americans still racing in the Tour. And this year, one of my favorite riders, Sepp Kuss, races for Jumbo-Visma anymore. They're now called Visma Lisa Bike. He's one of my favorite players.
Are those words?
No, they're Belgian team, I think. they are one of my he's my favorite cyclist because he's very good and he's American and it's great. There is another American who is the current U.S. road cycling national champion, and he races for another team. And first of all, I would just like to point out that the jersey for the road cycling champion in the United States is incredibly gaudy. it's blue. So from the nipples up, it is blue. Ooh. With white stars, and then you have vertical red and white stripes going down from basically the nips down.
OG Captain America.
Like OG Captain America, exactly. And so
not it is, Iron Man.
Not Iron Man. So anybody that wears this thing, you could be the most, like Sepp Kuss is the most, like he's a very calm, like well-spoken, American guy that, you know, lives and spends most of his time in Europe. So that's very, and like married to a Spanish person, like very come across, very European. Quinn Simmons, on the other hand, the current U.S. national champion, looks like a young Alexi Lawless.
That's a great reference.
Handlebar mustache, long flowing red hair, currently in a mullet. Most guys with long hair in the cycling scene are going to put it up somehow and put it up in a bun or tie it up in some sort of ponytail behind. He lets that flow. And the dude, at least last, I think he got like... This is a few years ago. People can learn. People can change. In this environment, not so much. But he was fined, I think, by his team for some racist stuff, probably. It was like,
oh, good.
Turned out to be like big Trump guy. Which, at the end of the day, is there a better representation of the United States in the... Not like
America,
sorry, not better. I should say, is there a more accurate representation of the United States than Quinn Simmons on the world tour in Europe right now?
He shows up making Joe Dirt look bad. Like he's a.
Have you pulled up the image or have you seen the
Oh, I saw it when you sent it. Yeah, he's. you know, some people call people who race for a living racers, but why not be called a racist?
Yep, fair.
All right.
Okay, well, cool. So that's your Tour de France update for France. I'm sorry, I say France like an American, like I'm that guy.
It's this weekend.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so yeah, we're closer to 2050 than 2020 right now. Okay, I've got a... proud of myself, guys. I saw this... I'm just going to leave it very vague because they might eventually catch on to this or whatever. But somebody I know lives somewhat close to me, I think, and I've never really thought about it or whatever. She bought a house near here before I live where I do. And I don't think much about it. And then she posted a picture from her roof. And in the background, I could see a very specific icon of my neighborhood. You wouldn't know
it.
You
see yourself standing on the roof?
Me, like, making $100. It's like so cool.
I was just about to say.
One hand.
Big fluffy hand.
One soft hand ready to go.
Blur.
If you know that reference, then good for you. If not, I'm not going to share it anyway. How do we make $100? Go back 2,700 episodes and listen. Anyway, there's an iconic piece of like architecture from the neighborhood in the background, and I was like, for real? And so like I started Googling, and I was like, all right, where do you live, person? And I spent a good 45 minutes like looking through old posts and like cross-referencing, and I was like, right there.
It was
that's
the,
your house.
What's the those like speed geospotter games? Like, what do you call them?
I was gonna say geocaching or whatever.
No, but like, no, what are those like they'll show like a Google Street View to a guy on Twitch, and he'll be like, and then he'll drop a pin on Google Earth.
Zimbabwe.
And it'll be like he'll be like, I think that's like Southern Africa. It's just gonna be Zimbabwe. And like pose, and then it'll be like he'll be within 200 miles of the spot that the picture was taken.
Across Earth.
And they'll do it from within, like, they'll do it within, like, 45 seconds, sometimes faster. And so Greg is what Gregor is saying is that he did the least efficient version of that to find out where a lady
lived. Damn it, I gotta beat that. So we weren't gonna talk about that.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Anyway, I'm proud of myself because I creeped to the fullest creep. I'm not going to do anything with that information, but I was like, the internet is amazing because just by like, I was like, how am I going to figure this out? I was like, oh, look at that. There's like three windows over there. That means there's three things on a roof. Oh, there's three things on a roof. And then I was like, yeah, this doesn't look right. And then I like scrolled around a little bit more for 26 minutes. And I was like, ooh, there's three things on a roof. Ooh, there's a patch of blue. And I was like, oh, hello.
You were on like Google Street View, just like looking in every window.
I mean, they do a good job of blocking it out or whatever. You know, alleys, when you click to go down the alley, it just puts you to the next street. It doesn't let you
creep really?
Down someone's alley. Yeah. Oh, I guess that's like not public roads or something. I don't understand how that works, but I also don't care, as Brandon would say earlier. Yeah. It doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so proud of myself for being able to be creeped to the max. So if you guys want to play any games of how to find where people live, let's do that. That'd be a fun podcast game.
How about you share it with us, and one of us will go over there.
All right.
Here's a fun game, thanks to the Google gravy. The last player to wear the number, the jersey number 69 on every team in Major League Baseball. Would you guys like to know who the last player on the Seattle Mariners was to wear the number 69?
I would love to know that.
Nobody ever has worn the number 69 for the Seattle Mariners.
I'm pretty blown away that the list is so short that baseball, I guess, I mean, full of like, you know, players being mildly racist towards each other from different cultures and stuff like that, and Ichiro famously bonding more with the guys who spoke Spanish because they were 4-2 and treated like crap by the bumpkins that grew up here. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. anyway, yeah, I just feel like the baseball, the fact that that's what's sacred to them is you can't make a sex joke as a number on your jersey. I bet you comes down to like weird old timey stuff that people get mad about.
Well, there's so many damn unwritten rules in baseball like that are finally just eroding away over the last, I want to say, 5 years to a decade.
Do you know any baseball stats? Can you tell me what any of them mean? Because it used to be like, what's he batting? And everyone's like, that doesn't matter. It's what's his expected, you know, dick girth rating or whatever. That's like what's the more important. Wow.
Can we find out our expected dick girth rating? in and get your whiteboard.
I would like to give shout outs. There are more teams that have never had somebody wear the number 69 than there are teams with people who have worn the number 69. I would like to give a shout out specifically to Tommy Malone, which sounds like the name of a person who would wear that number.
Tommy Malone.
But not only that, he wore the number 69 for two teams, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles. So go Bird Gang, and also Tommy Malone. Shout outs to you for in 2020 and in 2021 with the Blue Jays wearing the number 69 and being named Tommy. I feel like not enough adults named Tommy anymore.
Tommy.
Hold on. So you're saying in the last 5 years that's happened?
Oh, I mean, there's people on here in, like, let's see, 2023, Anthony.
2025.
Oh, wait, 2025.
Gravy coming through with the stat. Pittsburgh Pirates had 8 players with the number, as they should. It's like, they should be expected. Well, somebody should have to wear it.
They should have lit up George Kirby the other day instead of letting it beat them, because they're like, you don't have the guts.
Like, who has, like, the most unhinged, like, mascot? Make that number 16. I guess the Philly Fanatic.
The Philly Fanatic?
Yeah, you got to think
Billy
that.
The Marlin was crazy for a while. He used to stab people with his bill.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, now Florida awesome. Stabs people, theoretically, well, how do you say
with
that?
With bath salts.
With their bills? With their,
yeah, yeah, with their, yeah, with their bad it. Government bill. Okay.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I see that on my...
The record holder...
Yeah, okay, yes.
The record holder for wearing the number 69 is actually one person wore it 3 years. Everybody else either wore it 1 year or 2 years. One person wore it 3 years, and that was Bronson Arroyo, also won the Pittsburgh Pirates, and World Series champion with the Boston Red Sox.
So what you're trying to say is, if you're trying to get it, Pittsburgh's the spot.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's the spot.
All right.
world champions of nothing except one thing.
The Pittsburgh 69ers.
All right. Well, we'll be right back.
That should be their name. Oh, my God. That should be their name.
The Pirates is so much better. Get out of here.
No, the 69ers is absolutely the better name.
When we come back, it's This Week in Dreams.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so, dudes, I don't know if there's a certain flavor of candy or drink or something like that that really does it for you, or vice versa, one that you cannot stand if it's out there. Like the banana runt from the old school candy runts, the worst. I used to hate banana Laffy Taffy because of it. Now I'm on board with Laffy Taffy. Cherry-flavored stuff, terrible for me. I, like, cannot stand it.
Really?
But I went to the, well, wait, do you have a flavor that you're for and a flavor that you're absolutely against? If there's a lineup of Jolly Ranchers, the one you can't have, but the one that you gotta have?
No, Jolly Ranchers, I just can't do them anymore.
No, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm just, as an example, like.
Okay, Skittles, apple. When they put the apple in there, the green apple, when they replaced my lime with apple, I threw a fit and I stopped eating Skittles for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a terrible idea that they had because it didn't
Dumbest
fit.
Dumbest idea ever.
They put a sour flavor in with all the other sweet, and I get what they're trying to do, but get out of here. They had to switch it back, which is awesome.
Yeah, thank God.
Okay, Brandon, is there a flavor that you like hate, but then if someone has a flavor of anything, you're in? Gravy says he hates anything mango flavored. How about real mangoes? Gravy, will you eat a mango? Okay, so he's not mango flavored, or he also does not like an actual mango.
I get with that too. I like I'll eat actual mango. I won't eat mango flavors. I also used to hate strawberry flavored or banana flavored specifically because of those runts. I couldn't eat anything that wasn't a real banana.
Yeah, same. Because nothing represented it well enough. Brandon, you're busy popping candies.
I'm eating nerd clusters. You said candy. What do you, like sleeper agent style, activated me to remember that I bought candy specifically for this show.
I like how you think that's sleeper agent. I'm just like, candy. And you're like, yes, candy. Yeah. Greg did it to me. He got me to eat the poisonous candy. No one likes that.
Blue raspberry is usually a flavor that I'm not about. Okay. Like, so like, especially with the, like with the Jolly Ranchers, you know, like the blue. I will eat all of the Jolly Ranchers. And then that one, I will have a pile of blue raspberry. Watermelon, anything is, I'm about it. All about it.
Okay. Four Loko watermelon?
Yeah, 100%. Whatever it is. Watermelon.
So good.
I think this one is divisive for people. I think that cherry, I think a lot of people have a hard time with because oftentimes it tastes like medicine. Lots of cough syrups.
Yeah. If it's cough syrup cherry, no. Regular cherry, yes.
What is the... All right. What is the... What is the Ben and Jerry's? They have like a cherry flavored
Cherry Garcia. Like
Cherry Garcia,
and you can get it as a bar. I think maybe that's Dove Bar that does that. I can't remember. That's when I finally came back around on cherry flavored stuff. And then there's a few things where like I really dig it. Strawberry is my go to. If you have strawberry ice cream, I'll choose that over just about anything. Rocky Road, I love a lot too. But when it comes to just generic flavored stuff, it's too sugary, and I keep almost getting busted at Wendy's for this because they have the sign, and I always get a Frosty, but then I want what I see. It's the grape-flavored Fanta is something that I'm like, I got to get in on that. I've never had it, but I want it. I want that grape flavor. And so I was at the old the Kroger-owned QFC, free plug, and I found brand-new flavor, grape-flavored White Claw.
Whoa. Yeah!
I was real worried about this. I guess I should
live
say,
taste test.
I'm real worried about this.
Worried about you.
But I love that White Claw does the. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but they do like the color pull tab on it to like open it. And so like I really love the pineapple flavor. I like almost all of the White Claw flavors. There's really not one that doesn't hit for me. Obviously, Gravy doesn't like the mango one.
I like alcohol.
Mango's the one I don't like.
Out, yeah. You know, it turns out I like pretty much anything alcohol.
Yeah, if you'll drink bourbon, I mean, a little White Claw is not going to stop me. That's for sure. So anyway, we go live taste test on grape-flavored White Claw now because I'm just curious about this. It's
1 minute of grape-flavored White Claw.
Oh, my God. I'm so into that.
Oh, my God. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a perfect reaction.
Yeah?
First of all, it always tastes like alcohol meets Kool-Aid, right?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And not like jungle juice, not like mixing the Everclear or whatever. It just tastes like diet alcohol.
It's like it's like alcoholic LaCroix.
Mm, man. I stand, man. This is great.
Wow. Nice.
Wow. How are you like as a cherry hater?
Yeah.
How are you on things like Cherry Coke? Or more importantly, Mountain Dew Code Red.
Oh, I love Mountain Dew Code Red. Siege can attest to that. He saw me love that.
A long time. I watched you love it so good.
Saw me love that. Yeah. Like
I tasted it too. We tasted it together.
$100.
You loved it together.
There was it when it poured out of the hole. There was glory. That's all I'm saying is that. So hold on. I'm giving this a second to process. I'll get back to your question here in a second, Brandon. But none of the White Claws are like, damn, that's so good. And so this one is also not that. Okay. But I'm by no means not drinking it. Like I have a whole 8-pack of it in my fridge, and so I'll finish it easily
tonight.
Yeah. I drank so much during the Sounders match yesterday that I don't know that I can do that tonight. I'm just trying to like hair the dog it right now. So I thought that I was really worried that this was going to be real bad, that it was going to be not great. Cherry Coke, Cherry Pepsi. I grew up a Pepsi
family.
Cherry
Pepsi better. Cherry Pepsi's better.
I grew up a Pepsi family. I love a Pepsi. I love it.
Yeah. Me too.
And in Albuquerque, the Pepsi distributor does Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew. And so that's like my trifecta of drinks or whatever. Like Dr. Pepper out of the fountain on the good ice. Oh, my God. There's like a few things better than that. Or the can of Dr. Pepper that you can only get at the gas station on a road trip that's like 16-ounce can of Dr. Pepper. That's it for me, too. I love that. Yo, Costco just switched over to Coke products, says.
Wow, really?
The one in all the Seattle Costcos do not, I don't know if there's more than one, actually, do not do any with sugar sodas. They refuse to pay the sugar tax that the city put in.
Whoa.
And so you can only get sugar-free sodas at the
Costco. They're all zeros?
In Seattle, which is real annoying. Like, I'd rather just pay an extra 4 cents and have the, but okay. I guess that's me being not conservative enough or something like that. But also
give
Costco.
Give me the chemicals.
Give me the chemicals
and the brain pain.
Yeah, I want something that breaks through, some sort of plastic that breaks through the brain barrier, brain blood barrier. That's what I'm looking for right now.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so yeah, the grape, good. I give it thumbs up.
Cool.
I got to think of what my other go-to flavors are. I think the lime is real good, and the pineapple's real good. My friend took a sip of the pineapple when I was hanging out, and he took like two sips and was like, this is trash. And I was like, yeah, bring it here. And man, I crushed like three more of that after that. I was like, this is amazing. I love this. So I'm at a new fattest ever, Siege. I know you always like to know when I get fatter.
Yes. Can we guess?
Sure.
Can we guess?
How fat is Gerg?
How fat is Greg?
I'm not answering. I'm not gonna put my weight out there because I don't want other people to hear my weight who weigh more and think that I'm complaining about my own weight. It's like a personal struggle. It has nothing to do with comparing to anyone else. Yeah.
Question: could you just be the tallest ever?
Yeah. Did you get taller?
Did you just get taller?
I'll tell you where
I didn't get
longer.
Wise? Could you be an even bigger boy than you already were?
I mean, technically, yes.
But in the height department.
I'll have someone measure me, okay? And we'll figure it out, okay? I'll go
measure
to my doctor's
your hamstrings?
Office. Oh, yeah.
Can we measure your thighs? Can we compare thighs?
Yeah, sure. Oh, wow. This is all very weird to me, but I'm in. Just not on the pot.
You told us last week that you were actually super okay with physical touch. So now,
yeah, you did.
Prove it.
Yeah, we have to force it upon you.
We have to go thigh to thigh.
Hey, Brandon, you were the one that was in town this weekend and didn't come by. You missed your chance. Don't put this on me. Like, you want physical touch? I'm all here for it, dog. Like, you just come on by and I'll grind away. Let's go. That's too far, probably.
No, it's not. Keep going.
If there was ever literally the only time ever where I need that butthole would have been the sound effect to play, or are you going to bring that butt over here or what? And you didn't hit either of them.
I need that butthole.
Really pissing me off.
All right. Well, guys, I think this is what Nerd Talk is actually supposed to be about. Brandon, you won't care about it because it has to do with time and nostalgia, and you're clearly unimpressed by that. But for the other three of us, this started as a cartoon, and it became the most important movie of our childhood, if I remember correctly. Big fail in it, though, that we'll get to. A karate movie with pizza-loving teenagers who just happen to be human-sized mutated karate turtles taught by a martial arts master rat. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie headed back to theaters in their original big screen forms, celebrating 35 years since its original release back in 1990. It'll be in theaters August 17th and 20th. I guess not the days in between, just those 2 days, 17th and 20th.
Wow.
Brandon, did you ever see this film?
I don't know how to feel about that.
Yes, I saw the film.
Okay. I loved it. I thought, looking back now, April O'Neil... gigantic fail. Like, just gigantic fail. Like, as a 10-year-old when that movie came out, and the April O'Neil who was, like, over-sexualized and not realistic until the porn star showed up.
Yes,
the one
was.
From the cartoon, maybe not setting up a good example, but they also did not deliver at all on screen. Casey Jones, great. April O'Neil, weak.
That makes me remember that... like, I guess it was the opening scene where the Domino's pizza guy was trying to find the address. It was like 133 and an eighth.
And an eighth.
133 and an eighth. And you're 2 minutes late, dude. Our pizza's free. You guys remember when we used to get pizza in under 30 minutes or less, or it was free?
Absolutely.
Oh my God. That's back, now it's like an hour to get a pizza.
That's back when that was like Noid Domino's, right?
That
was
that might even have been before the Noid. Avoid the Noid.
Yeah. Domino's used to be my least favorite pizza of all the pizza places. Now it's my go-to of the major chains.
They changed some stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they changed a lot of stuff.
And now I love it. The one by my house, not great. It's like not the best Domino's, but still in a pinch.
Is that because of the clientele or?
No, it has nothing to do with the clientele. It has to do with the people who work there who are just high out of their mind, obviously.
Oh cool. They hired local.
But do you begrudge the people that work at the pizza at the local Domino's for being stoned as they're making your pizza?
Right. I want to be very clear. This is I know I'm passing judgment. I'm saying that it's not great or whatever, but no judgment. Yeah. Like, if you work at Domino's and you are high out of your mind on weed, like,
judgment, but your service sucks.
But I keep coming back because it's like good enough. Yeah. So.
There is a pizza chain. It's called Pizza Pipeline. And I don't know if this is.
Pizza Pipeline?
Pizza Pipeline. Like a pipeline?
Pipeline.
Like a pipeline.
Okay. Sorry. I was like, Pizza Pie Line? What?
Pipeline. Pizza Pipeline.
What is a pline?
So it's a pizza chain that they're in Bellingham, and there's one in Spokane, which I was surprised to find out. And when I was in college, it was a thing where if you called Pizza Pipeline to order your food and you told them you were naked, they would give you $1 off or something like that of your whole order. I'm a bad liar, and so I always was like, if I'm going to call them and tell them that so I can get the $1 off, I have to be naked. I was like, I felt like I actually legitimately needed to get naked and not just say it over the phone. So I would like be like, hey guys, I'm going to go order pizza, and then I would have to go. I would say either one of you lies to these people and tell them you're naked, or I feel bad about lying, so I'm going to go get naked.
He's our best boy.
and I'm nervous now.
Then I got $100 to pay for the pizza. It was awesome.
I want to get a deal on the pizza here in Spokane, but I don't know that it's a thing like it was in Bellingham. And so I want to call Pizza Pipeline and be like, does it make any difference if I'm naked? And see how the high person working at the shop on the other end responds to that question.
Would you get it free if you were naked when they showed up?
I think you would get a sexual... What do you call that?
You go on a list.
You go on a list.
Yeah.
Nah, they're asking. They're asking for it.
No, we're not. We're not saying that. Okay, well, Zed ruined it. We'll be right back. Okay, I have so many more things to talk about, but also I know everyone's favorite part of the show is always Guinness time, so I don't... Yeah, I guess we should go for that, huh? Welcome to Guinness Time, where we compete to see who can get closest to guessing the actual Guinness record, oftentimes annoying Brandon with how oddly specific and pointless they are. But, here we go. Let's see. Hey, Gravy, did you click on through the meteorite one that I sent in that I have on the sheet? Okay, cool. We'll do that one then for sure. Yeah, so anyway, we find records, and then these guys guess, and we play Price is Right's rules, and so good luck, everybody. Let's see here. There's a meteorite that is the largest known piece of Mars on Earth, expected to fetch up to $4 million when it goes up for auction later this month, CNN.com reports. I'm curious to know the meteorite known as NWA 16788. That's awesome.
187.
I wish. I'm curious to know if you guys can guess what a $4 million meteorite weighs. What is the weight of a $4 million meteorite? Who won
I get
last
to go
time?
First. Smaller than me. I swept everything. 3-0.
Smaller than the biggest Greg ever?
I'm thinking about it. Okay, we'll get there.
Okay.
Siege, what
18
is the...
18 pumpkins.
Okay, nope.
Hold on. No, that's an easy stoic. Come on.
Yeah, because that was previous world record Greg's
weight. That's 234.
234 pounds?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that what I weighed before? Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for... But I said that I didn't want to share my weight, so
you,
we didn't.
You have power.
We didn't. Have, we shared the old weight.
You have Thank power. You. You have power.
You're bigger than that now.
You literally control the bleep. You control all of this. I'm going.
I know,
to
but it's all work though. That's the problem. Brandon.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say.
Siege already guessed. However, fucking many pumpkins. So let's.
Three pounds
is the heaviest Martian meteorite here on Earth. Gravy?
Ten pounds.
10 pounds? So we
you
got...
You guys are way off.
234 pounds, or however many pumpkins that was.
18.
Brandon, you said 3 pounds, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, he said 3 pounds.
Wait, we're losing Brandon. Okay, sorry, and Gravy said 10.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Known as NWA 16788, the meteorite weighs 54 pounds, or 24.5 kilograms. Massive compared with most Martian meteorites, which tend to be a small fragment.
That's big.
Auction house Sotheby's said in a statement published Tuesday, meteorites are what's left when a comet, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we know what a meteorite is. That's big, 54 pounds. It is smaller than me, obviously. That is what, 4 pumpkins big, I think, is... Pretty accurate.
Yeah, about that.
Are they 13 pounds?
Probably closer to 6. Yeah, yeah.
5.
Yeah, it's like 6 pumpkins, maybe?
Wait.
So it's like 13 each?
54 pounds is 4 times 10 is 40. 4 times 3 is 12. So 52. So, yeah, it's like just over 4.
Is it 54? I'll just do it the other way. Divided by
13.
13 equals 4.15.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Wow. You were. That was good. Good stoic, Greg.
Thanks, dog. That was.
That's amazing. You did that all in your head.
Yeah. So Brandon died. We lost him. That makes Guinness time a little harder. He guessed 230. No, he guessed 3 pounds. So a point on the board goes to Sean Gravy Gervin.
I got it. I won that one.
Okay. One for Siege. I mean, sorry. Let's see if Brandon pops back in here.
Present but late. That's why they
I'm
call
so
me.
He came back just to hear me get a point.
Oh, f- off.
And he just hangs up again.
Congratulations. Siege got the point, Brandon. Oh. To be fair, it was 54 pounds, but Siege claimed the point, so it's
The closest with going over.
It's anarchy time.
And also not the closest.
Not the closest. The furthest away
the least
while
closest.
Going over. But it's
all
mine.
All right. Well, that's something. Oh, did we already do this one? Oh, we maybe did. It was from Throwback Thursday last week, but I'll ask anyway.
Most I want it.
Eggs stacked.
Oh, yeah.
We did that one?
No, I thought we did it dropped. Wait. I thought we did dropped. Like a furthest dropped egg.
Most eggs stacked.
Did we do stacked?
We did like most Jenga stacked.
Okay, so the most eggs, if you stood an egg up with the rounder side down and the pointier side up, and then you put another egg on top of it, the most eggs stacked.
What?
Two. One.
You can do
one.
That?
I feel like the answer is one. You can't stack eggs. That doesn't work.
Most eggs stacked. The guy's name is Mohammed Al-Bahamid.
Oh,
Mohammed Mukbel. He appears to be French. And I never know. But he, what do we say? Okay, so Siege?
Stacked eggs. That is 18.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Brandon?
5.
I think Gregor is like taken aback by the fact
one?
That me?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything yet.
Who said one?
No, Gravy said, I said one as in, I think it's actually impossible to stack eggs, so there must be something going on here. I'd like to see the the ballots, I guess. The stop the count of the eggs on the. I'm gonna say what Gravy said. 5. You said 18. Yeah. Steve said 18. Gregor was like shocked that Siege said a number that's plausible.
assume that's why I was shocked.
Oh, gosh. 6.
Well, you would have been better off going with 1. Congratulations to Siege. The number, the most eggs stacked is 4.
No!
Yes!
Oh.
2. I got 2 points. I'm winning 2 weeks in a row.
This is Siege's revenge for never actually doing This Week in Dreams.
Hey, what do you mean? We do This Week in Dreams every week.
Most water moved by the hands in 30 seconds.
Oh, this is Greg's category right here.
I don't want prune hands. I want soft hands, not pruney.
Wait, moved by hands?
Okay, so the dude has one large storage container, and then it's full of water, and he's using he's doing a two-handed scoop method where he's going two hands in and then throwing it into a measuring device, a bucket, I suppose. It looks like a somewhere between a thing that a whale would fill up and a beaker. And he's throwing water into it in 30 seconds.
Brandon gets the whiteboard out.
Most water moved by the hands in 30 seconds. Siege? I'll take ounces. I'll take UK ounces. I'll take milliliters. I'll take mouthfuls. I don't even know.
in how long? 30 seconds?
Yeah.
30 seconds. 10 Four Locos.
How many ounces of a Four Loco, please?
How thick are his fingers?
I'm pretty sure we said one Loco.
24.5.
Yeah.
Loco. 24.5 Four Locos.
One Loco we determined was...
One Loco was like 5.
5 ounces, I think. Yeah, one Loco like 4.25. So
we're going to have to go back to that episode.
So wait, are you saying 10 Four Locos or 10 Locos? What is the...
10 Four Locos.
10 Four Locos. Okay, so that's 10 ounces... 240-ish.
245 ounces.
Okay, 245 ounces, says Siege.
Fluid ounces.
American fluid ounces, says Siege. Brandon?
I'm doing some
He's still doing math. Gravy?
I was actually going to say 240. I did like 8 ounces times 30. I'll do 280.
Nope. You're wrong.
Okay. And Brandon.
Oh, my gosh.
Can we see his fingers?
7,530 milliliters.
Which is how many ounces is that? Do we have any idea?
I can Google it.
Hold on.
Wait, Gravy can Google it.
No. That's
ounces is 7,500 milliliters.
750.
Did you say 750, Brandon?
No, 7,530 milliliters.
So that was wait. Hold on.
It's 254 U.S. fluid ounces.
Okay.
What? Why you?
you just really crapped on Siege there, Brandon.
Wait, what did he say? Wait, what did Siege say?
He said 245.
I said 245.
Well, I did math. I did math, and I wasn't paying attention to anything you were doing. I did math, and I came up with 254 fluid ounces.
You had the Four Locos, including the weight of the can.
Congratulations to Siege. Most water moved by the hands in 30 seconds, 5,100 milliliters or 172.45 U.S. fluid ounces.
Yes!
Siege is the winner. Congratulations!
That's not that much.
2 weeks 6 in a row.
I feel okay. You guys want to know? Here's how I did my math, especially with those hands, Greg. You could definitely beat that.
he'll beat a lot with those hands.
All right. Here's the thing. I did the math, so as we recall, you can fit 100 bees. Did we say 100 bees?
We're still talking about this.
100 bees, yes.
Yeah. So 100 bees. 100 milliliters in your mouth, because one bee is 1 milliliter. We can fit 100 milliliters in your mouth, and I figured with your hands, I figured a large-handed man must have been the one to attempt this, if he thought he was worthy of the record. So I said a large-handed man could fit 2.5 mouthfuls of water in his hand, and if I think one scoop per per second is not that wild to think of.
Okay.
And so you've got, and then I'm like, okay, you account for loss, but then you also account for the water that's on your hand from a previous scoop that might splash into the previous
one. Also got holes between
problem,
the pinkies.
The problem with the thinking is, I like where you're coming from. It's very logical. The problem is that he's like basically throwing the water from one thing to the other. And so probably only 75% of the double scoop that he does is making it into the container. But I think I'm right, though, because what's 3/4 of 253?
That's exactly what I'm about to. 256 times 0.75 is.
No, you said 254.
No, I said 256. You're right. 254.5. You're right.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
It does. It does.
What's how many did he get?
We're all about facts.
171 or something.
The answer is 190. So pretty close. Pretty close.
Okay. Well, congratulations, Siege.
Yes.
Play the Guinness Time music, please.
It's time.
Oop. I literally don't think we could make it worse.
Guys, don't talk over the music.
The part where
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm trying to turn this into a thing to audition for a job, and it just has, it's been the worst episode possible. It's partially my fault.
No, it's so good. Such a good episode.
Yeah, it's I'm very disappointed.
There's always next week.
Nope. I mean, we'll have a show next week. It's just that I have to turn this in this week, and so it's I was hoping for a good one today.
We'll do another one. Let's do another one.
Okay.
Let's
well,
do it right now.
Nope. That ends up that wraps up the thing, and so here to school us at the end. Congratulations to Sean. Google that Gravy Gervin. Not congrats. That's not a congrats. Welcome for
no. Thank
whatever
you.
The f*** this is called, just do the part.
We were talking about height, so Siege learned he's going to have to redo his head separation surgery just to get a little bit taller to even out that weight thing for Greg.
Yeah, okay. I like that. Yeah.
That's how good of a friend he is.
Yeah, thanks.
Brandon, we mentioned candy, and that's all it took for him to literally turn into a Pavlov dog and disappear to go get some nerd clusters. So if you ever need to make him disappear, just say candy. Yeah. It's gone.
Or just tell me instantly. Or just tell me that you're mad at me.
Okay.
I'm very insecure. I'll go away for a long time.
And then we talked about architecture.
What do you think he
earlier,
missed 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Sorry, Sean.
While we were talking about some architecture earlier, Greg discovered a whole new hobby of speed geo-creeping.
I like that name.
All right, well,
that should be an Olympic event.
See you guys in hell. I'll be creeping on you there.
Very inefficiently.
Yeah, well, he's next to the guys getting pineapples up their asses. Okay, I see him.
He's trying to figure out where to find this lady, and he's using MapQuest.
In hell.
In hell.
That's all I have in hell is MapQuest.
I just realized Brandon's eating complicated sugar.
Yeah,
complicated
he is.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Complicated syrup.
Complicated syrup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Whatever. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.